thank you for this day, Lord. I just thank you for this retreat and just for the opportunity for us to be here and to learn so much from the leaders in our life. I just really pray for Hannah and just give her the words to speak, Lord. Just give her the words you wanted to say. I just pray that we all take a lot from this. I know Hannah is very wise, and I'm excited to hear what she has to say. So I just pray we take a lot from it and really grow from it. I thank you again for this retreat and for all that you do for us. Your son's in my prayer. Amen. Amen.
Okay, we're going to talk about... I'm going to try really hard not to trip the ball. We're going to talk today about Jesus chose what was best. Can you not hear me? Okay. Project as much as I can. All right, today we're talking about Jesus chose what was best. And the theme of the whole weekend is that we become mature, and we become mature by becoming like Christ. So when you think of the things that Jesus did, one of the characteristics that he had that was definitely something that we look at that we can imitate is his decision making and how he didn't just make a decision based on what was there or what was the easiest or whatever, that Jesus really did make each one of his decisions in a deliberate manner in which that it became the best decision. Look at some of the examples. We're going to look at some of them in detail, but just some of them. I mean, there's so many. If you go through any of the Gospels, you can read them. I think the most probably deliberate one that we can look at, which was a decision, was him going to the cross. If you look at up into that point in time, the amount of prayer that goes into it and the emotion that he had and feeling torn and saying, you know, God, if you can take this from me, then please do, because this isn't something I want to do, but I will do it if it's your will. And just kind of having that kind of an attitude in our decision making. The second one I think of is the woman at the well. It's when you look at going to the cross, the woman at the well doesn't seem quite as extravagant or as, you know, as detrimental to Jesus's ministry. But I think about being that woman that he interacted with, and that woman whose life he changed, and it was a very deliberate choice. And the fact that if you read it, it says that most people went around, but he chose to go through there. He chose to sit down at that well. He chose to start to initiate that conversation. Just those, you know, we're going to talk about like the big decisions in our life, but that with Jesus, it was in every single day and every conversation, every single thing, thought that he had, he chose to put in these good decision-making skills. And then kind of a funny one that me and TC are both doing the same lesson in a guy and girl form. And we were talking about when Peter cut off the ear of the guard when they came to arrest Jesus, and he made that decision and that choice to put it back on. And me and TC were joking, like, yeah, we might have put it back on, but TC said he would have put it in his forehead. And I said, I would have at least put it on upside down. Like, you know, that it was a decision that he didn't have to make. It wasn't a writer. I mean, it wasn't him who did it. But that decision to do something, even though he didn't have to do it, even though I think with all of us, we would say he had all right to be ticked off and want to get a little bit of revenge. And heck, if I'm not the one that has to do it, somebody else did it, then more power to him. And that's the kind of attitude I know I would have. But even in the areas where it wasn't his fault or it wasn't something that he did, he still chose to make that right decision. The main verse that we're going to go off of, and you might want to turn to this one because it's going to be like our main verse, but it's 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to do 23 and 24, and then we're going to skip down to 30 through 33. And it's an NCV version that we're reading out of. We are allowed to do all things, but not all things are good for us to do. We are allowed to do all things, but not all things help others grow stronger. Do not look out only for yourselves. Look out for the good of others also. The answer is, if you eat or drink, or if you do anything, do it all for the glory of God. Never do anything that might hurt others. Jesus' roots are God's church. Just as I also try to please everybody in every way, I am not trying to do what is good for me, but what is good for most people so that they can be saved. I really want us to look at that and just really soak that in, because if you go by our natural human nature, our natural way that we came out of the womb, and I know it's because I have three children, three completely distinct personalities, but every single one of them, their decision-making thing is, what do I want now? That's what we're born with. That's what our natural human nature tells us. That's what basically everyone else tells us, is you got to choose what is best for you, what you think is best for you, not necessarily what is best for you, but you know what I mean. We got to choose what you want now. And you look at this verse, and if we're going to be anything like Jesus was, anything like what God wants us to be, he says the complete and utter opposite of that. He says, no, I didn't send you there to do whatever you wanted to do whenever you wanted to do it. You know, even if you're allowed to do all things, that doesn't mean everything's good for you. And I really, really want us to look at that and really take that to heart, because one of the things that I think is the most heartbreaking thing in working with college kids and looking at and teenagers, and I mean even adults, but I mean especially this age, is, you know, I'm allowed to do that, or who says I can't do that? But what we're talking about is not necessarily what you can or you can't do, because what you can or you can't do isn't going to give you the most fulfilled, blessed life that God has intended for you. And how many of us look around at our lives and honestly say, why don't I have what I really want? Like, you can look at somebody else's relationship where they have a good godly marriage, they have a good godly family, and you're sitting there like, well, why don't I have that? Why am I with jerk face over here? Well, because he was there. It wasn't the best decision that you possibly could have made. It wasn't wrong. Or it wasn't the worst decision I could make. But then also, I think the second part of this is something that I think a lot of times that we just completely disregard. And this is something that I think we need to really pay attention to, is it may not just be good for us to do, and we may be allowed to do whatever we want, but it doesn't help others grow stronger. And that's something that I really feel like our selfishness and decision-making really gets the best of us. How many of us can look at our parents and be like, yeah, it may not have been a right or wrong thing for you, or it may not have been the worst thing in the world, but you really weren't thinking what was going to be best for me. I know I can look at my relation, I can look at my parents and be like, okay, Mom, when in this decision-making process did you ever think, how is this going to affect my kids? How is this going to, you know, maybe you had, right now my parents are going through this crazy, horrible divorce, whatever. And my dad is pretty much dating someone else. She's a year older than me. She has children younger than mine. And, you know, and it's, you know, my dad is totally being immoral and wrong. So therefore, my mother acts like a crazy neurotic psycho all the time. And part of the reason why, I mean, I'd like to put all the blame on my dad for all that, but part of the reason why my dad is in this place that he's at is because for 32 years, my mom did whatever she wanted, whenever she wanted. She acted however she wanted, whatever emotion came to mind, she did it. And so, you know, a few weeks ago, we're out there and my dad says, I don't want to be with you anymore, I want out of this. So my mom just starts going out, freaking, losing it, taking a bunch of pills and swallowing, saying, I'm done, I'm out of this, you know, I don't want to be here anymore. And I look at that and I'm like, okay, at that time, you know, when I did say it, tell her, I was like, you are so selfish. Did you think at all how that was going to affect your children, your two daughters that are sitting here watching you? My children are, I mean, that's what really made me, I was like, my kids are upstairs. How dare you think that because something isn't going your way and it seemed like the right thing for you to do at that time to freak out and lose it, did you think about how it was going to affect anybody else? And I think that's something that as women that we really need to pay attention to, because right now you're college students and the world pretty much is whatever you do. But I know most of you want to get married and I know most of you want to have children. And that is a huge thing. If you can start getting in the pattern now of making your decisions wise, now, so that not just how it affects you, but how it's going to affect other people, your marriage will be 100 times better. Mm-hmm. Having children, you won't have the kind of children where like me and my sister, where we look at our mom and are like, how far away can we move from you? How often do we have to answer your phone calls? You know, because you're so selfish, because everything revolves around you. You know, and not only with that area, but just with the people that we're reaching out to. I really want us to look at every decision I make. It doesn't just affect my relationship with God. It affects all of my girls. And if you really, truly love those girls around you, then you're going to care about how your decisions affect them. And then the outside lost world. And there's a few things we're going to talk about later on, but I think that's a huge one. I hear so often about, this isn't a right or wrong thing. Is it the decision that's going to make the world see you as different, and is it going to affect them having a relationship with God or not? And sometimes I think we're too busy teeter-tottering that line of right or wrong when it does affect our relationship with God. It does. If you teeter-totter on that line in the middle too often, you're going to fall off into the wrong. You're going to sin. The Bible says that we're already infallible people. It says all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that we're all going to sin over and over again. So why would we, if we know it's going to happen, why would we continually put ourselves along that line so that it happens more and more and more often? And that's something I really want you guys to think about when you look at this. Not what am I allowed to do? What would not necessarily be the worst decision in the world to make? But what is the best, most profitable decision for my relationship with God, my girls that are around me's relationship with God, and people who may just see me for 30 seconds. If I'm in a restaurant for 30 seconds, that decision that I choose to make right then and there could affect somebody's forever. I've had two waitresses that I've reached out to, and if the first impact or the first decision, if she would have brought something out bad, would be for me to snap on her. Instead of choosing to say, okay, I may not like this and this and that. I mean, my first waitress that I had that came to church was the worst waitress I've ever had. She's not good. Don't tell her I said that. But she's not a good waitress. But whenever she would come, we'd still try to be like, okay, what is going on? We're going to have a good attitude. We're going to choose to do the right thing. And now she's a Christian. She has a relationship with God. You know, choosing to tip her $6 when honestly our meal was $5 and it wasn't good. But, you know, just making those little bitty tiny decisions can affect someone else's forever. So when we look at that verse and we look at all these, the four things that we're going to do in order to be able to make wise decisions, I want you to think about that. I want you to think about not just now, not just me right here, but my children and my children's children and my future husband and the girls that I'm involved with and somebody out there who I don't even know that God hasn't even put in my path yet. So if we're going to... if I'm going to choose what is best, the first thing I need to do is conform to the Word. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, perfect will." That to me is exactly what I want to have. I want to be a part of God's will, His good, pleasing, perfect will. I want my life to be more along the lines of good, perfect, and pleasing to God than so-so, crappy, surviving, wish I was never born life. And I can say that personally in my own life, that for the first... Sorry, I spent like reason my mouth's really dry. For the first 17 years of my life, every single decision I ever made was, what do I want to do right now? What are my emotions telling me to do right now? Okay, then for like the next 5 years after that, it was a half-half, three-fourths sometimes, whatever. And the more, thank you, the more that I really understood that I did, that I wanted it to be more like what God's will was and not my own, I've been able to see that it can go from a life where, honestly, I grew up and it wasn't horrible. You know, I had two parents, three kids. We lived in a really nice house. I got straight A's, all this stuff. And I was like, I am just surviving. This good girl crap doesn't get me anywhere. I'm unhappy all the time. I'm the most insecure person that I know. I'm sad. I cry for no reason all the time. I have no close relationships to being able to follow in God and making my decisions that way in God's will, to seeing that I'm happy and that I have a great life. And not everything's perfect all the time. Man, last year was a really rough year for me. But at the end of the year, I can still say, after that was a really rough year, I still have a really good life. I have a great family. I have amazing relationships and friendships, and it's all because it's more aligned with God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, the old way of thinking is our conditioned default setting. We're going to talk about that a little bit throughout. Everything that, like I said before, everything that we do from birth on is this default setting. And the default setting is me, 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 me. What I think is best, you know, whatever at the time I feel. And that's our conditioned default setting. In 1 John 2, 3-6, it says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Christ Jesus did." You know, it's exactly what we're talking about this whole week, because if we want to be more like Jesus, then what does it say we have to do? Have to read our Bible, know what it says, and then obey it. And I think I hear a lot of girls come up and ask about, what do you think is the right decision to make for this or that, this or that? And some things are really legitimate things. Like, I don't know, I want to make the best decision. But sometimes the decisions are simply, you don't know what your Bible has to say. Because if you read your Bible and you knew what it said, this wouldn't even be a question. You would know what the right thing to do would be. Because the Bible very clearly states, this is the right thing to do. You know, I look at that as far as our dating relationships. And I hate to almost hammer this in the ground, but so often we look at this and we're like, why do I keep, you know, ending up in this and this and this situation? And honestly, or we look at friends of ours who have walked away from their relationship with God or in horrible relationships, and you say, why is this not working? Well, because God says that if he isn't a Christian, if he doesn't put me first, then you have no business being yoked together. And I can tell you from 11 years of marriage that if you do not have God as the number one priority in your life and his life, if you don't aren't involved in your ministry together, then marriage is really, it's impossible. I just want to say it's impossible. If you don't both have the right relationship with God, it's impossible. I can see that in my own parents' relationship. I mean, every time I sit down and talk, they're like, what went wrong? I'm like, you don't give a crap about what God says. That's what went wrong. You're almost talking to them like they're kids. But I know that in my own life. And I know that from watching girl after girl after girl be like, I want to have a relationship like you guys do. And I'm like, then why don't you pick somebody who God says you should be with? And that guy doesn't give a crap about God. You have no business being with him. The Bible's clear about that. So sometimes our decisions just need to be, I need to know what the Bible says, and I need to obey it. And like I said, most of the time, our problem is that we don't even know what it says. I can't believe how many people I talk to about stuff, and they're like, well, it's a gray area. And I'm like, no, it's not. Bible's pretty clear about that. And obviously we don't have time to get into all those things, but I really want to encourage you that if you feel like something's a gray area, or you feel like it's something that's a really temptation or struggle, get in your Bible and read it and study it out. If you're not sure about whether or not something is a wise decision to make, or if it's some way that you should carry on your life, then get in your Bible and find out if it is. When Jesus says that I need to be the number one thing above your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, anything else in your life, it's not really an option. I have to choose what God says. And John 1:1, Jesus says, I am the Word. The Word is in me and the Word was with me. So if we're going to be like Jesus, then we can't say, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be Christ-like. I want to be a disciple. And then totally not listen to what the Bible has to say about it. Or pick and choose the things that we like. Because I know that we do it. I know I do it. I know there are times when I read that pride, you know, pride or jealousy or this or that is the same thing as immorality. But I'm like, I'm not cheating on my husband. So it's totally okay that I'm being so prideful right now. You know, and it's not. It's totally just as bad to be this way. I know it's totally just as wrong for me to be moody and emotionally unstable and act on my emotions as it is for me to go out and murder someone. But I really justify that in my head when I make a decision. When I really feel like I totally have a right to go off on my husband. I have asked him to do this over and over again, and he does not listen. So my decision at that time is he needs to hear it, and everyone needs to hear it. Everyone needs to feel the wrath of me. And I'm going to be honest, when I go through periods of time like that, I do not want to have a quiet time. I do not want to read my Bible because I know I'm going to read it, and I know it's going to challenge my butt off, and I know it's going to make that decision not a gray area for me. I have no right to justify the way I'm acting. I have no right to justify the decisions that I'm making. In Matthew 4, the entire section right there is the temptation of Jesus. And if you're not really familiar with it, I really encourage you to go back into your Bible and really read it and study it out. But basically, Jesus is fasting for 40 days, which I really like to eat. After about 4 hours, I feel like I'm going to die when I'm fasting. Going more than 2 days, if someone's going to bring me anything, I'm going to tackle them and take it out of their hand and eat it. So I look at this and I really could sympathize with 40 days of fasting. I mean, some people might be great at this and think that's not happening. But I'm thinking, if somebody comes up to me and they tempt me with anything, a raisin, I am falling to it. And you look at Jesus and he's fasting for 40 days and Satan comes up and he puts all these things in front of him. And he says, what about this? What about this? What about this? And Jesus could make the decision very clear cut, very simple, no wavering and saying no. And I look at that and I'm like, well, how could he make the right decision so easily after being so weak and being so human and needing that food? And one of the main things that you look at and you see is that Jesus spouts off scripture as his answer. And that should be able, that is what we should be able to do. When we say, what decision should I make with this? We should be able to have scripture that backs that up a vast majority of the time. Jesus was able to spout it off. This is what you should, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible says. But then the second point that we're going to go into, and the big thing that I see with Jesus, is that he, it's consider my purpose is the second point. Jesus was very focused on his purpose. It wasn't the here and the now at all. The here and the now was, I'm starving, I would like to eat. But Jesus was able to say, that's not the bigger purpose right now. And in our decision making, sometimes I feel like we are so right here. You know, it's like, okay, well, I want to make this decision based on this right now. I'm lonely right now. And so I'm going to get involved in a relationship. Or I'm weak right now. Or for me, I'm the worst dieter in the world. Because I'm like, that looks so good and it's here right now. And so I'm like, right now, I don't think about it and I just eat it. 10 minutes later, I'm like, stupid. And then I'm like upset 3 days later when none of my jeans fit me again. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, it was a bad decision to make. But at the time, I didn't think about what was going to happen 3 days later. You know? Think about even like with our schoolwork. I think it's so easy when you're involved in college to see the here and now. Whether it be a poor decision to not go to class because everything's going on and it's all like, oh, these are the only years I'm ever going to get, so I'm not going to go to class, I'm not going to study, I'm not going to do this. Or if you're the opposite end and you're like, it's school and I want to get down in 4, 3.5 years and it's school, and I want to study and I'm going to do this and this and this. Which, are they wrong? Is that necessarily a wrong decision to make? No. But if you have no purpose in your relationship with God, if you are not reaching out to the people that God's put in your life, if you have no time for anyone else or to be built up or have relationships, then you need to think, okay, is it really that big of a deal if I get done in 4 years or 4.5 based on the fact that I take a few less credits and have more time to reach out to people? I have more time to build relationships. I mean, I know I had to do that. I was like the gung-ho girl. I'm going to get in and out. I'm going to do this and that. I'm still working on my degree because I took a lot of time off in the middle to get married and do campus ministry full time and have children. And you know what I can tell you looking back on it? You know, and I got good grades, but I'm like, it's not the biggest deal in the whole wide world whether or not I got an A in that class or I got a B in that class or if I, you know, did this or that, because the decisions that I was making at the time to go to school and be at all, I was totally miserable and God wasn't blessing me at all. Now, like I said, don't take it the wrong way, because some of us make the wrong decision in the opposite way, where we're totally irresponsible. We don't go to class like we should. We don't do the work like we should. And we're not able, on that end, to influence anybody in our classes, because how the heck are you going to reach out to anybody if you ain't in class? How on earth are your teachers going to look at you or your professors and have any respect for you if you're failing out of everything? You know, that's what I'm saying, is every single decision that you make has to be the kind of decision that affects other people. The best you do in class, if you're there and you're focused on other people and you're doing well in class, that opens up a ton of doors to be able to have study groups and form relationships with other people, because everyone's always looking for somebody that they can, you know, not cheat off of, but, you know, help them in certain areas. So looking at every area of our life and what is the greater purpose? And Jesus' purpose is really clear. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save which was lost." 1 Corinthians 10:33 says, "Just as I also try to please everyone in every way, I'm not trying to do what is good for me, but what is good for most people so they can be saved." Every single decision I make has to say, is this going to affect my purpose in reaching out to someone else? Okay, in this, I want to bring up the topic of drinking, because I know it's one of those things, and I'm going to be honest with you, I am totally 100% dry, no, nothing, ever, and I have two main reasons for that. My first reason for that, okay, these don't necessarily go in order of importance, but order of what happened in my life. My first reason for that was I grew up in a family where every single person was an alcoholic, not my immediate family, but my family outside. My dad has 4 brothers. Every single one of them has been so involved with drugs and alcohol and has went to prison and has all these children that have no father. And then my dad's sister has a husband who lays on the couch and is dying of cirrhosis of the liver and Hep C, or one of those two, Hep A, I don't know which one is. And he does nothing, and his children have no father and nothing. So growing up and watching that my whole life, I said, why on earth would I want to even have anything associated with that? you know, I don't want to have a life like that. I don't want to have a relationship where my kids, you know, whatever. And we are people that we tend to do things in excess, right? Like, we were joking around this morning with, they said, do you want a donut hole? I said, I can say no to none. I don't want any. But if I eat one, I will not stop. Like, that's just the way I am. I have to say no altogether or give me the whole bag. It's not, give me two. I'll stop there. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the peanut butter M&Ms that are in our room. Last night I was like, I'm just going to eat two because they're so sweet too. And like, I went back to the bag, I can't even tell you how many times. And I was like, I knew I just should have said no altogether. And honestly, with drinking and things like that, it really does. How many people do we know that are like, oh yeah, I'm just going to drink once or twice? And then they're at parties and they're smashed. Or, you know, they make really bad decisions based on that. How many girls do you know that wouldn't have slept with douchebags if they weren't drunk? I mean, I see that happen all the time, and I'm like, why did you even put yourself in that position? Why did you even put yourself there? I don't get it. You know what's going to happen. You know what the point of that is. And then the second reason why I don't do it is because when the Bible says that do not do anything to cause anyone else to stumble, I'm not going to put myself in a position where anybody can look at me and say, I can do it because Hannah does it. Or it's not that big a deal to her, so why is it not a big deal to me? You know what? I have no desire to ever go out and do it. But I have a lot of girls that I've reached out to that have been in my small group or have been that are other girls that's a really big problem for them. They can't just go and have one sip of alcohol or drink one drink. If they do it, then they're falling off the wagon and I can kiss them goodbye. And I will not be a part of that. The Bible says that it's worse for you to cause someone else to stumble. Make your own mistakes. You gotta deal with that. But if you do something and it causes somebody else to sin, then you're in really big trouble with God. He's not okay with that. And I never want that to be my problem. I look at so many parents who are like, I don't understand why my kids are drinking. And then they're sitting down with them at dinner drinking. And I'm like, well, why do you think your kids didn't have a problem with that? I'm sure some of you guys have been in that exact same situation. It was just a life for you. I don't want that to ever be an issue with my children. I don't want that to ever be an issue with anybody else. And lost people. I don't want anybody ever to see me out somewhere drink in any kind of a compromising situation. That's why I don't hang out with any other guys without my husband there. Because I don't want it to be that problem. We have a rule that if my husband's not at the house, no other guy is there with me alone. Not because I'm not worried about messing around. No. I think if I have something like that, I would never even think about crossing my mind. But I don't want that to be an issue or a stumbling block for anybody else. And I want you guys to really think about that. Think about with your relationships with your boyfriends. I know, where's Becca? Oh. I remember one time she was talking and she was like, so me and my boyfriend, we were downstairs in our basement. Her mom's not a Christian. And she's like, and we really weren't doing anything. We were kissing and stuff, but we were in a basement and it was late at night. And I was like, do you know what the biggest problem with that is? Okay, one is you're putting yourself in a temptation situation, but you didn't do anything, so you're okay. And you know what she could have said? I'm okay. I didn't do anything wrong. I said, you know what really scares me about that situation is that your mom is upstairs and you and your boyfriend are in a dark basement late at night. You know what your mom thinks you're doing? She thinks you're having sex. Because she's not the kind of mom that's like, you know, she's like, okay, all teenagers do it, you know. And I'm like, and how on earth are you ever going to be able to teach her, you know, convince her otherwise that you're different, that your life is completely different, if she thinks in the back of her head, you're screwing your boyfriend. You know, and the same thing goes with our other friends. If you're out late at night with your boyfriend in a car talking, is it a wrong thing to do? No. What do the other girls in your dorms think you're doing? And what are you probably going to end up doing if, you know, it's like the decision-making process, it's a snowball effect, you know? Once, if we start making poor decisions in the beginning, then we just start to lose our purpose, and we start to forget that my purpose is to be like Jesus and to stay as far away from sin as possible. And then also my purpose is to seek and save the lost. And if I'm spending all this time doing this stuff that may not be right or wrong, then my purpose isn't focused on other people. And so it's something that we really need to look at and say, okay, if Jesus' purpose was able to be so clear and he was able to be so selfless, then I need to really make sure that I'm making decisions with a purpose in mind. You know, that they're... God, I'm so caught now. You know, with our attitudes, especially, I think that's one of the things that we really have to watch with purpose. You know that expression, you don't always get a second chance to make a first impression? I think really thinking about that, I am somebody who really can struggle with being moody. And I really can struggle with wearing my emotions on my face, even if I don't think that I am. You know, there's times when I'll just be exhausted, and my husband will come up to me like, what's your problem? Why are you being grouchy? And I'm like, I'm really not mad. I'm just really tired. And he's like, well, you need to watch it, because you really come across as rude and snotty, and you're not going to be able to reach out to anybody acting like that. And it's something that I really have to be aware of, that every single decision I make, whether it be the way I, you know, the look on my face, to my attitude, to, you know, everything that we do affects somebody else. If you go off and go crazy and act psycho on somebody, that's going to really hurt your chances of having a good relationship with them. The third thing that we can do in order to make wise decisions is to consult the wise. Sometimes, let's see here. We have like a step stool approach here, okay? So Jesus had God, and he consulted him all the time. If you look at whenever Jesus was doing stuff, or whenever he was getting ready to do something hard or make a hard decision, what was he doing? He was praying. Like, simple, basic thing that I know I forget to do a lot, and I know a lot of times we talk about, we're like, I'm having a really hard time, this is a really tough decision. And the first thing, you know, if we ask, well, did you pray about it? And how often you're, no. And I know that that's something I totally struggle with. That I'm like, this is just whatever, I don't know what to do. And then I'll be like, I didn't even think about praying about this. Like, why is that my last option? Why after I make my pros and my cons list? And why after I've already done 3 or 4 of the wrong things, then do I decide to pray? So Jesus had God. The disciples had Jesus that they went to and asked. You look at the disciples, they're always asking Jesus questions. Sometimes they're ones that, you know, he's like rolls his eyes to them. It's like, that's the dumbest question ever. But they were asking questions all the time. The apostles and the disciples. Then you had Paul. Had the apostles, and then Timothy had Paul. TC said that Tim Taylor had Wilson, but I figured that none of you guys would get that. Yeah? Okay. He was like, oh, they're going to know that. And I was like, they're not going to know what you're talking about. It's home improvement. You remember Tim Taylor used to go across the and always consult Wilson? You guys get it? Way. Tim would do something really stupid, really boneheaded, be really selfish, take his wife off, his kids would be like, whatever, you know, he'd hurt somebody or whatever, and at the end of every episode, he would go next door and he would consult a wise Wilson, and Wilson would be like, Tim, blah, 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 you know, and he would tell him the things he needed to do, and then Tim would come back in and he would use all those awesome words of wisdom that Wilson gave him and make everything all wonderful again with his wife. You know, but it's true, we need that. I know that I need that in my life. I need people that I can go to and say, this is this and this and this is going on. Give me your unbiased opinion. Give me your good, godly, biblical, principled, unbiased opinion. You know, if Jesus had to pray to God, then why on earth do we not think that we need people in our lives? Why do we think that, you know, that we're so special, that we'll have all the great answers, and if anybody questions a decision we make, then, you know, how could you, how dare you question my decision? Of course my decision is the correct one, you know, and I know, like, I totally struggle with that arrogance, too, all the time. Like, I'll do something, and my husband will be like, do you think this is the best thing to do? And I'm like, oh, you just don't think I can do anything right, do you? No. How dare you treat me like I'm a child, you know? And that's all the things that go through my head and sometimes come out of my mouth that I'm ashamed of. But we have that. That mentality that we don't need to consult wise people in order to make wise decisions. Hebrews 12:7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. If you have somebody and you look at them and you say, like, I want your life. I want your marriage. I want your friendships. I want the way you have your relationship with your children someday. I want, you know, the way that you seem to succeed in your schoolwork or in your job setting, and, you know, you seem to be a successful person in that, then go to them and ask them how they accomplished that. How are you, okay, I see somebody and they're able to balance, like, putting God first and having a good marriage and being able to, you know, do all these things. Go to them and ask them, how on earth do you do that? How can I balance my life? How can I make this wise decision? Do you think it's best for me to take 27 credit hours this semester? Or do you think that I should take 17, you know? But so often you see the opposite happen. Somebody be like, I'm so overwhelmed, I took 27 credit hours. And you're like, why did you not come and ask me if that was a wise decision? Because I would have slapped you upside the head and told you, you'll never have a life, you know? We need to have that. Look at somebody's life who you respect and who makes wise decisions, and then ask them how they go about doing that. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's something that I think we really don't do that often. Did I forget to write the reference question? Okay, I forgot to write the reference verse down, but it says, let the teaching of Christ live in you richly. Use all wisdom to teach and instruct each other by singing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Everything you do or say should be done to obey Jesus Christ your Lord, and all you do, give thanks to God through the Father. You know, there it says, you know, let the teachings of Christ live in you. Let the decisions that you make be good, godly ones that can bless your life. And one of the ways you do that is you use the wisdom that we teach each other with. And then our fourth point is that we have to consistently die to ourselves. Like I said, you're born selfish, you come in with a me mentality, and the number one thing that Jesus asked for us, if we're going to be his disciples, if we're going to be like him, is that you have to die to yourself. He physically had to die, we have to do it emotionally and personally, and we don't really have to do it physically, fortunately, most of us. But sometimes just making that decision that you're going to die to what you want at that time can seem like, you know, physical death. I mean, there's been times when I'm like, I'm hurting so bad inside from having to choose to do this right thing when I really want to be selfish and do the wrong thing, that if I'm like, I'd rather like physically have the stomach flu at that time. Matthew 10:38-39 says, whoever is not willing to carry his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who try to hold on to their lives will give up their true life. Those who give up their lives for me will hold on to true life. Whoever accepts you also accepts me. Whoever accepts me also accepts the one who sent me. You know, we talked about that purpose that we have, that we're going to affect other people. If our decisions are going to be the ones that other people look at and they help affect their lives in a positive way, then they have to see us die into ourselves. They have to see us choosing to make that decision that says, I'm not going to pick what's best for me. And I cannot tell you how many times that when you choose to do that and you pour into somebody else and you're dying to yourself and putting your selfishness aside, how much that affects somebody else. And that's something that really can be taught without even actually having to say anything. I mean, there are times when you have to tell people, you know, what, die to yourself or whatever. But if you're willing to do that, then that can affect someone's life much more than anything else that you can do. For them to see, like, you know, you were tired and yet you chose to do that. You know, I just had a baby 3 months ago. And the hardest thing in the world is not want to sleep all the time. Like, all the time. And to do anything outside of just being at home and sleeping and whatever else is really hard. But I know that I have to be purposeful in the fact that that will affect no one. That decision, is it a wrong decision to stay at home and sleep all the time? No. Every email I get from every parenting magazine says, sleep as much as you can. Every time your baby naps, you should sleep. And I'm like, okay, like I wouldn't have a life if I did that, you know, and I wouldn't be able to affect anyone else because that decision completely is all me. It's all focused on me and what I feel like would be best for me at the time. You know, and he says daily. And why does he say that we daily have to do this? Because the decision-making thing is, like I said, from the moment you get up in the morning, you start making decisions. From, you know, sometimes before I get out of bed, I have to make a decision on whether I'm going to do something the right or the wrong way, the best way. You know, whether I'm making that decision to get up a little bit earlier so that I can read my Bible and do these things on my own before everybody else wakes up. To the decision to not wake up crabby and rude and go off on everyone. You know, the decision to be on my own little world as I walk to class. You know, I'm an incredibly shy person. And walking to class smiling, hey, talking to people I don't know is like, I'd rather you string me up here stark naked and throw things at me. It's really hard to put myself out there. And I, you know, when I was going to school, just doing that kind of thing was a small decision, but yet it was a big thing that I had to choose to do every single day. And the reason why we have to do it daily is because, like we talked about before, to condition yourself to the hard times, get rid of the default setting. We've got to get rid of that default setting. I mean, you're always going to go back to it, back there. But it's so much easier when you start to make the little decisions now in the best way than when a big, hard decision comes. Mm-hmm. You're already conditioning yourself to make the right decision. You know, I look at people when really, really hard times come. They're the ones that the Bible says are able to weather that storm and not be blown away back and forth because all along they were choosing to make those right decisions. They were choosing to make the right decisions to consult God on a very regular basis. They were choosing the right decisions to be really close to the good, godly people that could be that support system for them. You know, they were choosing to make the right decisions to stay completely away from anything that would cause them to sin and struggle any more than just everyday human natural life would. You know, so whenever something really hard comes up and it's right there and it's saying, you know, and it rocks you, they're able to say, I don't have to waver in my relationship with God. I'm able to make a decision that says I don't have to give up on this or I don't have to give up on that. And they have all those things that we talked about ready to go. They're able to see purpose in really hard times, you know. I know I've talked to a lot of guys about this, but I know one of the things with Maria and losing the babies was something we talked about over and over again, is you get to use this. You get to choose whether or not this is something that destroys you or whether it's something that makes you stronger. You know, if you look along any area of the Bible, you look at the people who chose to do the right things all along, were so much easier to choose to do the right things in the hard times. So as we go along, we want to make sure that we try to condition ourselves in a different manner. So ultimately, to close out, I have to ask myself, does my decision glorify myself or does it glorify God? Does my decision help me have the best relationship with God, help the ones around me have a better relationship with God and grow stronger, and help people that I may come in contact with who are lost have a better relationship with God? If you can answer all three of those questions and say yes, then you know it's a good decision to make. If you look at a guy and you're like, should I date this guy? Will he help my relationship with God? Will he help? Will we be able to help others around us in their relationship with God? Can lost people look at us and want to have a relationship with God and that be something that will bring them closer to God? Then the answer is yes, you should. You know, should I go to this place? Should I go to a party? Should I do this or that? Down to, should I have a crappy attitude right now? Should I go to class? You know, every little decision that we make, we have to ask ourselves those questions. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, if you do anything, do it for the glory of God. Anything. Not the big things. I know we categorize. But is every single little tiny thing I do glorify God? Does it help others grow stronger? And if it does, then pretty simply, then your answer is that it's a pretty good decision to go with. And that'll be the best decision. You know, there's good, better, best. We talk about that all the time with our girls. That's a good decision. That's a better decision. This is the best decision. You can go with all these, but you know this is going to be the one that's going to give you that life that you dream of. So go with that one. It may be harder, and it may be a bigger price to pay, but you know how it is. If you want a better car, the best car, you got to pay more. If you want the best this, you have to pay more. So sometimes the price is more, but it's definitely, definitely worth it. And I really want to encourage you guys to make sure you do that, because I know I've seen it in my own life, and I've seen it with the girls around me. So thank you for listening, and I'll sleep again.